Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Someone said that Christian singer Ray Bolts just came out of the closet. What, just now? What, he must be saying he's a heterosexual, because he's a homosexual. Weeks ago, he announced he scheduled concerts at metropolitan community churches, where many are cold and a few are frozen. So it is, of course, a great tragedy. And when even that barrier is broken down, the gender barrier, male and female, when even that is uncertain in the world we live in, then people are lost. And major Christian ministries are confused on what public policy should be regarding homosexuality. And major Christian ministries will say, well, you're born that way, and equal rights for homosexuals. So where do you go from there? We could work for the next 15 years, try to outlaw homosexual dental care. But other than that, it seems like Christians don't know, they don't understand what our position should be on homosexuality. It's a great tragedy, and Ray Bolts is another casualty in the war over sexual immorality. Of course, sex should only be legal within marriage. Sex should only be legal within marriage. And the body of Christ gave up on that 50 years ago. They think pornography should be legal, and adultery should be legal, and homosexuality should be legal, and fornication should be legal, and on and on and on and on and on, and even child sex should be legal. So when you give up on God, when you're ashamed of God, then where do you go? Where do you go? So now the latest casualty in the war against sexual immorality, Christian singer Ray Bolts, he's the one who does that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I was a life that was saved. Great song. What a shame. I appreciate the House Republicans on the good news for the day. Appreciate the House Republicans voting down the $700 billion bill to further socialize America. What is socialism? Well, millions of people don't know what the word means, and those who do, the vast majority, don't realize how utterly wicked socialism is. And we have a financial crisis, and our government, George W. Bush, is all upset that the Republicans voted this spending bill down. He's all upset, but ask yourself, does George W. Bush have the wisdom, the godliness, to know how to respond to a financial crisis? Does he know? Does he know that it's wrong to take money from people and give it as corporate welfare in bailouts? Remember back in the spring, we had the Bear Stearns bailout/buyout, when the Federal Reserve gave, what, $29 billion? $29 billion. Imagine how much $1 million is. Imagine $100 million, $300 million. Imagine a $29 billion no-recourse loan, meaning no recourse. If it doesn't get paid back, there's nothing they can do about it. To who was that to? J.P. Morgan Chase, to buy Bear Stearns with your money, basically. It was a Federal Reserve $29 billion bailout of a failed bank. And, you know, you could go back then and hear conservative Christians. You could hear, well, Austrian economists. And I appreciate the school of economists that have come out of Austria, like von Mises and others. And the argument that the government should not buy out failed industries, because when they do, go back to Amtrak, go back to Chrysler, go back as far as you want, go back to March with Bear Stearns, It just tempts other industries and corporations to be irresponsible and take risk beyond measure and plunder their own companies and their own shareholders, plunder them. And then when they're at the brink of disaster, don't worry, if they're big enough and the hole is deep enough, the taxpayer will bail them out one way or another. And that's what Bush is about. That's what Bush is about. He doesn't have the wisdom. He doesn't understand how thou shalt not steal is relevant to government operations. George W. Bush has never put those two concepts together in a single thought. God's command, do not steal, and government policy, government operations. He doesn't realize that as a governing official, he could be a thief. He doesn't realize that. He doesn't realize that. Well, he doesn't realize that he's responsible for all the kids who are murdered with his approval. All the kids in America. So, as far as George Bush is concerned, God's enduring command, do not murder, it's not relevant to his public policy positions. He thinks he's gotten away with this. All the Americans who've been slaughtered at the hands of Planned Parenthood during his watch, that he's helped to fund even, he's helped to authorize funding to kill those kids. And in South Dakota, they were within a hair's breadth of passing a law to ban all abortion. And he said, oh, no, that's not my position. Either you're going to let me kill these few or I'm going to let them kill all of them. That's my position. Either you're going to let me kill these few kids here, my exceptions, or I'm going to let them kill all of them. That's the reality of the Republican crime of the killing of innocent children, the Republican crime, the scam. And pro-lifers have bought into it for decades. Oh, if you can only save 99, save 99. And then come back later to save the one. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You should always save as many as you can. But you don't agree with people who want to kill some. You don't agree with them. You don't give them the key to the school so they could go in and kill some. You don't authorize the killing of some so you think you could kill, so you think you could save others. You don't do that. It's wrong. It backfires. And so the truth is that these exceptions are a window to the soul, and George W. Bush couldn't care less how many kids are killed in South Dakota this year. He couldn't care less because now they have a bill that this is his position. Enough exceptions to satisfy George W. Bush, his bloodlust for innocent blood, for children. They have exceptions. So now he's all over South Dakota campaigning, right? He's in Rapid City. He's at Mount Rushmore. He's fighting for passage of South Dakota's abortion ban because now it has exceptions? Of course he isn't. He doesn't give a rip. He lied to you when he said he's pro-life. He doesn't give a rip. His church, United Methodist Church in Houston, Texas, back when he ran for president, we called. Bob and Your Live, we called. We asked the membership director, well, what does your church think about homosexual members? Could you be a homosexual and a member in good standing? Well, of course you can. Sure. And now his pastor is out publicly campaigning for Barack Obama, George Bush's pastor. Was that a surprise? Of course it can't be a surprise because the United Methodist Church is Hillary's church. That's Hillary's church. They're pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-evolution. Many of them don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, and George W. Bush is way more godly, Christian, and pro-life than John McCain is. I mean, isn't that obvious? And George W. Bush is not godly, Christian, or pro-life. He's not. But he's way more godly, Christian, and pro-life than John McCain. But people like to be lied to. They like to be deceived. They'd rather be ignorant. Ignorance is bliss, right? Ignorance is bliss. And so we have this financial crisis that is, to some significant degree, the fault of the government, because our government doesn't understand that thou shalt not steal is a command also to governing officials. They don't have the right to take money from you and give it to Wall Street. They don't have that right. They just don't have that right. And so some of the mistakes they've made, some of the mistakes is, well, it became policy to give loans to people who can't afford them because, you know, everyone deserves a house. Well, how about somebody who doesn't work? Well, everyone deserves a house. You know, those ninja loans, those no income, no job, no assets, ninja loans. So everybody deserves a home, and it doesn't matter if you're a thief, if you don't work, if you're a drug addict, if you have bad credit. It doesn't matter. You deserve a home. So what happens? So the government, a policy is one way or another, you're going to get a home, and then the banks will charge you closing costs far beyond what they would charge wealthy people, because wealthy people are too smart to be ripped off like that. And you might get a negative amortization mortgage. Have you heard of those? That's what they've been giving to poor people who don't qualify for loans, but they get them because the government is so nice. And so every month, if they pay their payment, their principal goes up. Goes up. Doesn't go down. It goes up. Negative amortization loans. I've seen them with my own eyes. Given to people who have no jobs, no income, no credit, no assets, no nothing. I've seen it in the last 2 years. And just extraordinary closing costs and maybe 14% interest loans. And the banks, the lenders say, well, we have to charge a high interest because these people don't really qualify. So, of course, they're going to lose the property, of course. But they'll make the money because they'll package up these bad loans and sell them to the subprime secondary market to Freddie Mac. And they will buy these virtually criminal loans and just keep. And how many times was your home mortgage bought and sold? If you own a home, how many times did you get something in the mail? Hey, from now on, send your payment to this address. I know somebody who bought a home a year ago. It's been sold three times. And it's created an industry of fraud where people send letters to new homeowners and they say, your mortgage has been bought. Please send your payment to this address. And that's not even a bank. It's just the fraud. That's a new industry. It's a new industry. And so, of course, it shouldn't be policy. The government shouldn't be urging businesses to give loans to people who can't afford them. You can't get more broken than that. I mean, that's just inane. The government shouldn't be bailing out corporations. We shouldn't have Wall Street welfare. Wall Street welfare is not a good idea. It doesn't matter how well you think it through and you think, okay, well, what would be the alternative? So I'm going to think through. See, I'm the most brilliant person in the world, and I can tell you the consequences 1 year, 10 years, 50 years down the road if we do the bailout or if we don't. If we do it, it's this consequence. If we don't, it's that. You have to have an IQ higher than a Google to figure that out. You can't figure that out. You're not smart enough to figure that out. So there's something simpler. It goes like this. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal. So you know what? If somebody has the money to bail out Wachovia, like the FDIC did today to fund a buyout. My wife and I today were driving down the street, and Cheryl and I turned on the radio. Well, Wachovia just failed, and the FDIC is leveraged a buyout, and da-da-da. And right on the corner, right there, is Wachovia, one of their branches. We're like, we drive by. Bye. See ya. Bye. Adios. So you don't give welfare to Wall Street. It's wrong. It's also wrong to give welfare to poor people. It's wrong. If you have the money to bail out Bear Stearns, you want to do it, you have $29 billion, Go ahead and bail them out. You could do it with your own money. You can't do it with other people's money unless you're robbing them, if you're stealing their money. You see, so no one has an IQ high enough to figure out the consequences of doing the bailout versus not doing the bailout. Nobody can calculate that. And usually when you do things with stolen money, it doesn't work out well, usually. I remember a guy used to give a crisp $100 bill in the collection every Sunday. Crisp $100 bill. So church leaders went to him and said, you know, it's really nice. You showed up and we get this crisp $100 bill. What do you do for a living? He said, well, I sell drugs. I sell, you know, crack and all. So, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. And we don't want the money. So don't do that. So, or you could say, you know what? We're obviously better off with the money. I mean, obviously, think of all the good our church can do with that money. We can do a lot of good with that money. So we just pat them on the head and we say, well, you're our drug dealer, so we like you. You're our drug dealer. No, you warn him. So think of all the good you can do bailing out Wall Street firms with $1 trillion. If it's $700 billion, right, the current amount being requested, which was now voted down in the House. But does that count the billions already spent, like the $30 billion by the Fed in March with just Bear Stearns? Does that count that? No, that doesn't count that. And on Bob and Yurt Live, we don't talk about the financial issues all that often because kids are being killed. If we win the war soon against the killing of unborn children, then we could talk more about do not steal. But we prioritize things. When they're murdering your children, your neighbor's children, then that becomes more important than they're ripping your neighbor off. So you try to prioritize and put most of your effort into the most important things happening around you. So we didn't pay much attention to this back in March, but of course there were conservative economists who said, don't bail out Bear Stearns. If you do, you're going to have to bail out more banks in the future because they're going to learn the lesson that if they're irresponsible enough, they're going to get tens of billions of dollars. And they're going to find a way to milk their own companies for tens of millions of dollars in executive compensation, bust the company to where it's worth $1 a share, $2 a share, $10 a share, down from $150, $180 a share, $90 a share, down to $2 a share or $10 a share. But never fear, George Bush is here. Never fear, George Bush is here. I'm from the federal government, and I'm here to help. We have this Wall Street welfare program we'd like to sign you up for. And it started 24 hours after the Bear Stearns bailout. 24 hours later, the Fed said, okay, here's what we have. They told the Wall Street investment banks, well, here's the deal. You could sign up here for these emergency loans, and we will take your bad paper. We'll trade your bad mortgages for these treasury notes. So let's just go to town. And so the $700 million, that's got to be in addition to the fire sale and the government bailout that had been occurring up to this point, I imagine. And Wachovia, was that offline? So thou shalt not steal. The government doesn't have the wisdom or the godliness to know how to deal with a financial crisis. The government should not be insuring people's bank accounts. That's what they said about Wachovia. What's that guy's name on the Fox Business Channel? Stu Varney? Is that his name, Stu Varney? He said this today. He said, well, Wachovia failed, and all the banks have been failing in the last couple weeks, and five major banks in Europe have just failed. This is the newest headlines, just failed. Wachovia failed, but don't worry, you have nothing to worry about because the FDIC has insured all your accounts with Wachovia, so don't worry. Now, Stu Varney, he seems like a really likable guy, a nice guy, smart guy, but I don't know the extent of his biblical education. I don't hear him quoting scripture often. I don't think he understands the biblical principles of economics that God has revealed to us. It's wrong for the government to insure private businesses. That's wrong. When the government does that with your tax dollars, then those private businesses will be more irresponsible. See if you could think this through with me. If the government insures a private business, the private business will be more irresponsible. Just imagine if, compare banking to automobiles. You know how automobiles have safety ratings? And most people ignore safety ratings, but some people pay attention. The people who pay attention to safety ratings, they apply a market force on the industry so that cars would be increasingly safe. Does that make sense? What if the government had done away with that decades ago and they said, we ensure that all cars are equally safe? It doesn't matter the maker, the model, all cars are equally safe, so all consumers can ignore that. Then today, would cars be as safe or less safe than they are today? They'd be far less safe. So banks, when the government says to 100 million families and tens of millions of businesses, it doesn't matter where you put your money, we guarantee that all banks are equally safe. So what happens to the market pressure from all those 100 million accounts to make sure that, well, I want to make sure where I bank that it's a well-run bank? There is no such market pressure for the most part. There is none. And so bankers at every level learn that they don't have to satisfy the marketplace's demand for responsibility. They just have to satisfy a few regulators in Washington who they could even buy off. And they do buy them off. So the whole thing is a scam, and you need a solid biblical education and wisdom to be able to understand the cause of the crisis. Let's go to Denver. Ray. Ray, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing, brother?
Doing well, sir.
This is Ray Cordova.
Ray Cordova, the evangelist. Hi, Ray.
How's it going, brother?
Great.
I was listening to you about putting Wall Street on life support.
Yeah.
So you think we should pull the plug, guys, and let it die?
Well, it wouldn't quite die, but there'd be a crisis. But when there's a crisis, you got to deal with it. You know, if you have a health crisis and you end up in bed for 3 weeks and you have to change your lifestyle,
yeah.
Imagine if they gave you an injection so you didn't really think you had a crisis.
Yeah.
Then in 3 weeks, you'll be dead. You'll be dead. You won't have the opportunity to recover because it's an artificial infusion of lifeblood. But go ahead.
You know, I appreciate what you say because, you know, I was raised on welfare, you know, and I know the welfare mentality. We were raised on welfare because my dad went to prison. We were six of us. My mother raised us by herself. So, but I know that there's people that abuse the system, you know, because I thought, you know, and.
Ray, Carolyn McKenna works for NARAL. She's against the personhood amendment. The last time I told a feminist liberal that prison is cruel to families, wives, and children was on Friday when she was here. And I told her that we put men in jail as a form of punishment. It's an unbiblical way of punishing people, and it destroys the family. They then end up losing the home. They go on welfare. The kids are out of control. Putting men, locking up men like animals is a cruel form of punishment.
But anyway, you know, I agree with you. You know, the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And I feel
that's
that,
right.
You know, it would motivate people to live a disciplined responsible life.
Ray, that's right. Now, I got to go because we have another call. But, Ray, you are exactly right. And you know what? The kids in the family would become more mature. The kids would, just like you and me, Ray. When I was a kid, my father had a heart attack. And you know what? Other people came in to help. And my brothers and I, we didn't have to help. We did not have to help. 1-800-8-NER, 1-800-836-9278. Real quick, star witness in the O.J. trial testified that in Las Vegas that O.J. told him to bring a gun for the robbery at the hotel room. And the defense attorney for O.J. is saying, well, wait a minute, O.J. owned these items. He was just going back to collect them. And the detective in the case said ownership is not an element of robbery. So you can't break into somebody's house with a gun because you own something in the house. But you know what's interesting in that case? Bob and Yurt Live has played a small role in the Las Vegas police investigation because the media reported initially that O.J. said he had gone into that hotel room to recover his Hall of Fame award. And if you remember back in 1999, Bob and Yurt Live, we purchased O.J.'s Hall of Fame award at auction out in Beverly Hills, and we burned it along with his jerseys and Heisman 68 he wrote on the Buffalo Bills jersey. We burned all that stuff on the steps of the L.A. courthouse at high noon. And so the investigators in Las Vegas, we talked to them, and they tracked that down, and they confirmed that O.J., that was a false media report. He never said that he was recovering his Hall of Fame award, other memorabilia. Let's go to Denver. Vic, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi.
Hello, sir. What's up?
I was just thinking about what you've been talking about today, and I think one of the reasons we're in the position we're in economically in America is because people no longer want to point out when someone else is at fault. I was reading in Ezekiel 33 over the weekend.
Yeah.
About the watchman and how the blood's on his hands if he doesn't sound the alarm.
Right.
Just wanted to know what you thought about that.
I think it's right on, Vic. Absolutely right on. And, yeah, we have this victim mentality that everybody's a victim and it's not anyone's fault. And it's wrong. And George W. Bush, sadly, he doesn't know right from wrong. You can't go to him to find out right from wrong. He doesn't know.
Right. Well, my wife and I...
He's against terrorists. Hey, Vic, real quick. He's against terrorists, but he gives millions to Arafat for years.
Right.
But what? How's that against terrorists?
Well, my wife and I were talking about this, and she was thinking that, you know, it's really bad. All these companies are going under. The banks are going under. And I told her, you know what? I think that those banks and those other companies all along were doing badly. They didn't want to say anything to anybody. They wanted to put on their best face. And the minute the government said they were going to bail somebody out, all those other entities decided, well, hey, look, they're getting bailed out. Maybe if we come and confess ourselves now, that we can be saved, too.
That's exactly right. Hey, Vic, Vic, are you an economist?
I am not. I'm a truck driver.
All right. Well, I vote for you for Secretary of the Treasury.
God bless you, Bob.
Thank you, Vic. Vic from Denver for Secretary. Hey, we're out of time. 800-8-NER. Please help Bob and Yurt Live with our telethon. And Maranatha, what a great school.